This rip of TFTC was brought to you by River. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin. Go to river.com/TFTC and enjoy this episode.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
And looks like Logan pushed the button. We're live, George. Welcome to the show.
All right. Thanks. Good to be here.
I'm a little jealous that you're in Prague. I've been seeing pictures of people parading around Prague over the last week, and it looks like it's a beautiful time of year there.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's nice to, you know, be yet at another event and keep seeing familiar faces.
Yeah.
So excited for the next few days.
Excited for the next few days in Prague, and I'm excited to talk to you because I think what you're doing in Bulgaria with Botev Plovdiv, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, exactly.
So the oldest football club in Bulgaria, you are the director of Bitcoin within the club. How did all of this come to be?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I would say I became like a Bitcoin maxi, thanks to Alan Farrington and his Only the Strong Survive piece. And ever since then, I've kind of been tinkering around, you know, how to get like 100% involved in Bitcoin. And last year, I first started doing my educational project, BitcoinReady.me, where I was just like blogging, creating educational content. Meanwhile, I have been working on my like publishing books here in Bulgaria. Published the Bitcoin Standard, Price of Tomorrow, a little book about Bitcoin, and now we're translating also Fiat Standard and Broken Money. And last summer, it was like July or early August or something, I was put in touch with the owner of Botev Plovdiv, Anton Zingarevich, who bought the club 3 years ago in 2021, because he saw a huge opportunity in developing the club, right? At the time, the club was not performing very well on the field business-wise. But still, he saw this big opportunity because, like you said, it's the oldest football club in Bulgaria. It has a very, you know, significant third largest fan base in the country. It has had its quite glorious days. Actually, this season, we're celebrating 40 years since we played in Europe, and we had a big win against Bayern Munich in the 80s in Plovdiv. And there was a lot of kind of that was going on. Plovdiv is also a great city. You know, it's one of those cities that is not that well known, but very much appreciated. It was also, we just recently also got a completely new stadium created that was, that is the most modern facility in the country in terms of soccer, in terms of just like a sports stadium. And Anton, you know, has been doing like these 2-3 years, lots of improvements on the sort of like the traditional side, just like doing all kinds of best practices from, you know, developed football nations to improve the club on a business level, to improve the club on like the sports level, on football level, just leveling up the structure and organization of it all. But he also got orange peeled by some people around him, and they gave him this bug, this idea of like, hey, you can do something with Bitcoin. Bitcoin can be your strategy to reach back this European level that the club used to play at 40 years ago or so. By sure implement all these best practices, but on top of that, add this this Bitcoin ingredient, and get people excited about what you're doing. And what's even more interesting about this whole thing is that not only you know, there's this opportunity to level up the club and how it's doing. But because the club has already this very large footprint in the country, in the city for sure, you know, you can have this extremely positive impact on the people, on the community around the club, as you kind of, you know, bring, you know, especially if you manage to successfully integrate Bitcoin within the club, educate people around the club, and just like bring this conversation about Bitcoin from a completely different angle, you know, from a sports entertainment angle, as opposed to just like, you know, the topic of just money and finance, which is kind of the standard way in which people go about it. And so he was looking for a person to lead this effort, right, to project manage it. And that's how we got connected. I was like, frankly, I couldn't believe that's even happening, because Plovdiv is my home city. I was born there. I grew up there. And past 10 years, I've been living mostly in Sofia, which is the capital of Bulgaria. But still, you know, Plovdiv is where my heart lies. And I couldn't say no. You know, it's just been one of those things, you know, like as Steve Jobs said in this famous speech of his, like, just like looking back at everything I did for the past 10 and years of my professional life and so on and so forth, kind of like putting me in this position to be able to give a serious try at integrating Bitcoin and making something big for this club, for my city, and, you know, hopefully for sports in general. I feel like,
yeah, it's so cool to see. Obviously, we were mentioning before, obviously Peter McCormick and Bedford have done this with Real Bedford. With all this in mind, being approached and asked to handle the Bitcoin operations within the team, I'm just really curious. You're coming to it from an educational standpoint for the fans and the community. Obviously, there's a financial component for the club itself, like trying to put Bitcoin on the treasury so that you can reap the benefits of Bitcoin going up in value and then reinvest that in the club. But how do you approach this as the director of Bitcoin? Like, what are the first steps that you take? What are some of the first things that you do to develop a plan and then begin implementing it? Where do you start?
Right. Well, to be fair, we started from the very basics, because when I joined, started formally in like last September, and we were like, okay, we're now integrating Bitcoin. The goal of it being, like you say, over the long-term financial benefits, over the medium-term to internationalize the brand of the club. And so the club at the time was, and you know, it was very Bulgarian focused, right? Even our website was exclusively in Bulgarian, right? So we couldn't really kind of make any serious announcement and people taking us seriously if we have everything in Bulgarian. So, you know, there's all these Bitcoin things, but there's all these kind of traditional improvements that needed to be done. And that's still, to be fair, like a lot of the things we need to work on to improve in order to, like I say, introduce lots of best practices from clubs in general, so we get back to this European level. So first thing for me was really just like creating a new website. So started in September, and the goal was, we decided, okay, like we need to move fast. We set a deadline that by the end of October 31st, when it was the anniversary of the white paper, that we have this live. So it was quite hectic. I had the pleasure of working with a Bitcoin designer who has experience designing other Bitcoin products. He created the design of the website. They then found dedicated guys who actually build up the website, you know, code it and everything. And in the meantime, obviously, just doing the very basics, which for us were, as first steps, integrating payments, so people can actually come to the stadium, paying Bitcoin in the fan shops, paying Bitcoin online, for our store and so on and so forth. So setting this up with BTC Pay Server, with our local partner, CryptoDesk, and these were kind of all the very basics, like just set it all, and also kind of actually introduced the organization, right? Like onboard the organization into, you know, why are we doing this? Why is this something that makes sense? Which, to be fair, was challenging because at the time when I joined specifically, the club was not doing particularly well on the field. Like literally like the end of August, beginning of September, we just had a streak of lots of losses. There was very bad sentiment overall, you know, within the club, around the club, which is also, you know, added this sort of hesitancy as to like, are we ready to do this? Because at the end of the day, we're a football club first, right? And first and foremost, what people care about, and that's how it should be, is results on the field, right? And if there are good results on the field, then you can do generally business ventures or any kind of like other ventures around the club. But football first, it comes first, right? So this was not going well, but nevertheless, I was like, okay, and we move as quickly as possible, and we kind of keep fingers crossed that things start improving so that we're able to, by the end of October, we're ready to launch, to make this announcement. And if, you know, if for whatever reason things really haven't been good and we decided that timing is super bad, okay, we can postpone it. But fortunately for us, actually, right around the time when I joined, we also got a new sports director, a guy that has quite a lot of experience with Borussia Dortmund. We got a new coach leading the team, who both of whom actually played a very, very key role, and also a few other like experienced players joined the club to as leaders, so to say, especially our captain. Who is like very experienced. He's like 36 years old or something. Many people disregarded him, but he, together with, again, the coach, sports director, and of course all the players in the team, managed to really level up the squad to get the team back on track, to start winning, and to put us in the position that, you know, October 31st we did launch, we did announce, and from then on it's been lots of fun, you know, like several weeks after that, we got Joe Nakamoto visiting to create like a small documentary about the things we've been working on. And it's been, you know, it's like you say, what is the plan to, what is the strategy? How do we define it? It's like a startup, to be fair, you know, like we kind of have a direction we're going. We know we want to internationalize the club. But we didn't have all the things at the start, right? And even today, I mean, today we have a way, way clearer perspective, right? Where we are, where we're going. But lots of the things were kind of being defined as we go, if I can put it that way.
This episode was presented by River. River is the best, most secure place to buy Bitcoin in the United States. Go to river.com/TFTC, set up an account today. You'll be able to DCA into Bitcoin without paying any fees. You'll be able to give people Bitcoin via River links. You'll be able to send and receive Bitcoin over the Lightning Network. And you'll be able to set limit orders. If you want to buy Bitcoin at a particular price, below or above where it is now, you can set orders to buy Bitcoin when it hits that price. Go to river.com/TFTC and set up your account today. This trip was also brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. Unchained is building a financial services platform for a Bitcoin standard. They have over 7,000 clients that are securing over 90,000 Bitcoin with 12,000 keys on their platform. Their platform leverages Bitcoin's native multi-sig properties. Their cornerstone product is their vault product, a 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which allows you to hold 2 of 3 keys in a multi-sig quorum. That gives you full control over your Bitcoin. They also have an IRA product, a lending desk, and their rolling out a bunch of other products, including Inheritance Protocol and Sound Advisory. So go to unchained.com, set up a call with their concierge onboarding team today, tell them that TFTC sent you, and use the promo code TFTC at checkout. Unchained.com.
That's extremely exciting. It's a bit, I don't want to say odd, but it's funny how, I mean, like you mentioned, people typically talk about Bitcoin in the context of personal finance and growing your wealth. But when you begin to think about implementing it into a business, especially something like a soccer club, it's somewhat invigorating. It's a intellectual exercise that I imagine is invigorating and extremely rewarding because it's such a unique angle in the sense that it's like, all right, we got this Bitcoin thing and like communicating it not only to the players, the coaches, the team, but then the fans. I can imagine people being like, why are you implementing Bitcoin? And it's,
No, exactly. And that's true until today to a large extent, still, although it's changing and I think it will change quite drastically with what we have planned and the positive momentum that we've created on the field. Like I said, we started from the basic payments, and that's kind of what most people imagine when they're like, oh, you've adopted Bitcoin, so do you just accept payments? And like, yeah, sure. I mean, that's the start. That's kind of the basics. But then, like you said, once you start thinking about it, especially when you have this organization, this really a community of people around this cause, around this idea of a football club. In our case, like a very, not just any football club, but in our case, the oldest football club happened to be also in the oldest continuously inhabited city in the whole of Europe, a club that our patron, again, coincidentally and symbolically, the club Botev was named after Hristo Botev, who is easily, the most renowned historical figure in Bulgaria. As about 150 years ago, he was a revolutionary who fought for Bulgaria's freedom from the Ottoman Empire at the time. And not just Bulgarian's freedom, but he was like, he was a true freedom lover, like, because outside of just revolutionary, he was also a poet. So he has many poets, and he has these quotes every now and then that are, obviously much of it is about, getting Bulgarians free, but some of those are so kind of like in harmony with Bitcoin's philosophy. He has, for example, one of these things was like, only one who is free can truly be called human. He has this other quote that, I can't remember the top of my head, but it was something like, the fight for freedom, the struggle for freedom requires many minds and brains, many hands and brains, many people involved, right? Which people are very connected to this mission here, right? Like the fans, the community, that they're very connected to the figure of to this historical figure of Hristo Botev. And we commemorate his birth, we commemorate the date on which he was shot. We like to say, that there's this saying that he never truly died, because people who fight for freedom, they don't die, they continue to live. And he definitely continues to live in the memory of our fans, in spirit of our club. So in our case, this is just one example how I see as to how, we can over time, and we're starting to slowly incorporate Bitcoin in this identity really of the club, because there is this natural match between what this patron of ours stands for and what 150 years ago, a Bitcoin essentially stands for, right? It's again this new frontier for humanity to regain their freedom. So this is one thing, identity wise. But there's, like you say, so many ways in which you can integrate Bitcoin. So, and obviously, kind of like payments is kind of the basics. Then what we've done is, obviously started to integrate in terms of branding here and there. We've got like the Bitcoin logo on our official jerseys, on the kids We've been starting to do education here and there by having Bitcoin books added to the fan shops, by starting to do regular meetups where we invite Bitcoiners in general. A couple of times we also have these very excited football fans, like Botev fans who are also Bitcoiners. So we're trying to create this match. We partnered with Jan32. They've been a great partner of us now for like 5-6 months or so, and we got their Aqua wallet, which is a non-custodial on-chain Lightning and liquid wallet that supports Bitcoin and USDT. We got it to be tailored to Botev. So basically, like the phone has the regular light mode, dark mode, and then we added a Botev mode, which kind of turns the phone into iconic yellow black colors of the club, as well as you have the stadium shows when you open the app, and of course we introduce Bulgarian language, so it's easily accessible to fans and in general to the Bulgarian audience, and multiple kind of other such small things here and there, but frankly, I think the most exciting is still ahead, because like you said, there's so much you can think of. It's just that in our case, and I would say the case for almost any large club that he does it, there needs to be a right timing and a right pace in which you kind of integrate and do things with Bitcoin. So it's well accepted and understood. And you don't like create, let's say, too much friction with kind of the existing culture, the existing understanding, the existing community, right? Because there's these people, who are extremely passionate about the club in many different ways. So you want to onboard them, but like with orange peeling anyone, it takes time, and if you go too kind of hard on people or too abruptly, it can also have counter effects.
And with that in mind, how has the reception from the fan base been to the strategy overall?
So it's been actually significantly better than I expected at some point, because like some people are like, yeah, people are going to be like, what the fuck is this? People could be also negative. I was frankly a bit concerned, or quite concerned, especially before we announced it like last week or so, how it would be perceived, or I expected some negativity. Let's go it this way. I expected some negativity, but on the positive side, especially when we announced it, there was zero negativity whatsoever. Like there were zero negative comments on social media, and either no comments, no interest, or positive comments, because there's been a small group, obviously, like Bitcoiners in the country were immediately very excited about this. There was a small group of real hardcore fans. I would say like 5, 6, 7 people that I connected to that also were Bitcoiners, right? Either mining or using or holding in one way or another, and just like being very, very actively following Bitcoin. So they were excited and positive, and we have this group with them where we're brainstorming and kind of bouncing ideas what and how to do and how to kind of grow this virus, so to say, right, within the community. But the vast majority of people didn't really have any opinion whatsoever. They didn't care. They didn't understand, and even until today, I would say a vast majority of people still don't get it, still don't completely understand what is the relation. But kind of, as we like to say, and as we created these jerseys, the best is yet to come, one go at a time. So we've been very fortunate, to be fair. We've been very fortunate to have mostly positive wins behind us, with the club going better, with the price of Bitcoin going positive also obviously helps. I had many people, when I first joined, I did this onboarding session to the club administration, and people were like the most people were just like, what the hell does this have to club with to do with the club at all? They were, let's say, just didn't see the connection and weren't particularly curious about it. And fast forward, you know, several months later, because at the time the price was, I think, about 28,000, 29,000 or something. And fast forward, you know, price goes to 40, 50, and then, you know, basically all time high. People just like look at you a bit more seriously, you know, or some get more curious. Some even ask me, hey, how do I buy, you know? So that has definitely helped, you know, kind of the environment internally in the club in terms of, you know, we starting to win on the field and we'll win significantly, you know, with us eventually winning the cup this season. And then also kind of the external factors of just coincident, you know, having the timing when the price also goes up.
Yeah, number go up solves a lot of things. Timing can be
better for you. Yeah, it's kind of also like what got me into number go up is like what gives me energy to do kind of Bitcoin related things. Like even back in the day, my first Bitcoin, let's say, endeavor was contacting Seyfedin to publish his book in Bulgaria. And I was like, I mean, it's going to take some investment of mine. And at the time it was a meaningful investment of money, but I'm like, I understand this number is going to go up and this is essentially the marketing of the book. So it will pay off. Right. So it's a good investment, and kind of the same. I look at it here in the club, right. Eventually, earlier or later, the market will be with us. So we just have to do the hard work. So we're there, and the number go up just reinforces the work we've done.
And that's a very important point. Historically, because of the price volatility, people just stay on the sidelines. Like, oh, I'll wait until it stabilizes. But once you understand, it's like, it's probably not going to stabilize anytime soon. We've probably got like another decade or two, maybe. But with that in mind, it's like, all right. And then you have to internalize like time in the market is much better than timing the market. So you just got to start and get after it at some point.
Quick break here, freaks. This rip is brought to you by Gradually Then Suddenly, a framework for understanding Bitcoin as money by Parker Lewis. I wrote the foreword to the book. I'm honored to have done so because it's the best 0-to-1 primer if you're looking for a logical explanation of why Bitcoin obsoletes all other money. Buy one for yourself and maybe a few for your friends. Go to thesafehouse.com/gradually. That's thesafehouse.com, safe spelled S-A-I-F, thesafehouse.com/gradually. Use the promo code TFTC for $5 off at checkout. Buy it now, freaks. The price of Bitcoin is going up. You need to understand it. This is the best 0-to-1 primer. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Zaprite. If you're a Bitcoiner and run a business or an independent contractor, you should be accepting Bitcoin as payment. If not you, then who? If we believe that fiat is systemically fragile and is a risk, the rails that currency runs on are a risk as well. You need to begin accepting Bitcoin as soon as possible. Invest in the future of your business. Create a redundant rail by accepting Bitcoin as payment using Zaprite and reduce risk for your business. I've done this for my business. Here at TFTC, we use Zaprite. It allows you to easily create invoices, payment links, or connect e-commerce stores, connect your wallets or custodial accounts, and be set up in minutes. We can also connect our bank accounts, our Stripe accounts, or Square accounts to accept fiat as well. The time is now, freaks. The fiat system is fragile. Invest in the infrastructure that de-risks the future. Invest in yourself. Bitcoin payments with Zaprite. Go to zaprite.com/TFTC to get $40 off their annual subscription. Zaprite.com/TFTC, $40 off.
And Botev will be in the European Cup finals due to the fact that they have the hardest money in the world.
Yeah, well, no, that's actually quite hard. You know, as I started to understand, you know, the football business is complicated, like in sports business in general, on a big level. It's hard. It takes a lot of. It's not like just like a startup, because okay, you have your product there. Here you have many people involved, right? Like personal things, people things. You have the coach, you have the director, you have the pure sports side. Then you have the business side, which is there to reinforce the sports side. And it's also, you have also the, you know, sourcing players, developing players, you have this balance, because like the football business is a lot about, as you grow the club, you know, people, there's this factor where you have to sell players, you have to buy new, because a large part of the business revenues of a football club are just like selling players, right? But you also have to do this in the right pace, or in the right way, so you don't sell too many of your good players. So at the same time, you keep attracting uprising stars or people with potential when you develop them, so that you at the same time improve the financial situation of the club as you improve the squad, right? And so there's so many things that get in the success of a club, and especially over the years. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of consistent work from the players, from the people who manage the players. Like it's a lot of sports work. It's a lot of like psychology. And then the business side is obviously kind of the traditional hard work that anyone has to put, and the processes and structures that have to be in place there to have a, you know, like a good business with good products that clients, fans are happy with, satisfied with, that so it's good, and they, you know, purchase products and services from the club, they get others involved, and so on and so forth. So it's a long game, you know, and in our case, I as I see it, you know, we could very well. So frankly, like my belief is, and as we discussed, you know, with other key stakeholders in the club, like with this Bitcoin strategy, we can make within, let's say, a year, the club to be largely recognized as the professional, you know, Bitcoin club globally within 3 to 4 years. If, you know, if we execute well, and if we continue developing the team, and if we stay true to through this Bitcoin strategy, you know, within 3 to 4 years, hopefully we can become like a serious and well-known player on a European level, you know, starting from this year, hopefully after winning the cup. We are now next month entering the Europa League games, which is kind of the second biggest league in Europe, after the Champions League, obviously, where the top teams play. And then, you know, with lots of, again, hard work, consistency, and, you know, the Bitcoin as kind of this supercharger on the back end, I think it is possible, you know, 8 to 9, 10 years down the line, to really become one of those, to play against the biggest teams in Europe, like we did, you know, 4 years ago, again, against Bayern Munich. It just takes a lot of time, but I think it's totally worth it, because this can be an amazing story. This can make a huge difference. And, you know, to be fair, the more I learn about the sports industry, the more I see what others are doing, and obviously understanding Bitcoin, I think it's kind of inevitable for other clubs and established clubs to basically do a lot of what we are doing, or at least obviously to adopt Bitcoin as some sort of a treasury, as an asset. But yeah, we just have this advantage, kind of similar to El Salvador in a way, in that we're a serious club. El Salvador is the real country, right? But you know, we're both underdogs, right? And so if we see where things are going, as we do, and if we adopt them earlier, and we kind of combine this with hard work, we can catch up, hopefully even outpace the leaders who are today sleeping in their comfort zone, you know, just because, okay, you're a successful country, or you're the successful club, and you don't have to think much outside of the box, or you think just the world is going to be the way it's going to be, which is not.
No, it's changed. it's changing rather quickly. And in terms of that, like utilizing Bitcoin to help leapfrog the club back to the success it had many decades ago from a corporate finance perspective, like actually using Bitcoin, what does that look like? Is it taking ticket sales and merch revenue, rolling a portion of that into Bitcoin to sit on the treasury? Once the Bitcoin's on the treasury, do you utilize it in any particular way? Are you going to sell Bitcoin in the future to get cash to pay for players or new amenities, or simply use Bitcoin as collateral in loans, or simply as a treasury asset to build the, right, the value of the club over time?
Right. So in our case, the way it goes is the following. So when the owner bought the club, the president of the club bought the club 3 years ago, the club was at a loss, right? And the club is still generating a loss, but it has been improving a lot over the past 3 years, right? So we've been improving on the field, we've been improving on the business side. But still, you know, we're not break even as an organization, as unfortunately is the case with many other sports clubs and in particular football clubs. And so the strategy is, you know, for us to get to break even as quickly as possible, and then, you know, to grow the profit. And that involves, again, best practices, improving, getting more people on the stadium, if you want, getting, just like introducing many things that are standard, let's say, in Western Europe and the US, I guess, in sports. Here we're like not standard at all. Just like engaging more people, getting the stadium to be full, because we've got like this amazing facility, 18,600 people, which, however, for various reasons, like last season, we literally got the stadium full twice on two games, right? I think with the success next year is going to be, next year, I think, hope we can, I'm pretty confident we can do it like at least 6-7 games or more, and increase, you know, consistently the average attendance until, like, hopefully at next season or so we can start getting all games filled. But anyways, coming back to kind of the strategies when it comes to Bitcoin. So the strategy at this point is, because we're still not, like, we don't have a strong balance sheet as some other clubs. The strategy is really to, you know, grow our brand, to grow our revenues, and at the same time to sell a part of the business, to sell part of the shares of the business to external parties, to investors, to the fan base, who can then get a stake, who can become co-owners of the club. And with those proceeds that we'll generate, on a large part, we'll build a capital base in terms of Bitcoin, and a smaller part we'll use to level up the squad. And specifically within 1 year, we hope and we aim to get to this break-even level, where the club can sustain itself, where the club can continue growing its profitable position, and at the same time we can keep this Bitcoin as a key treasury asset, as a buffer. And as you have Bitcoin on the balance sheet, you know, and as you know the trajectory that Bitcoin is going, you know, over time, this can also enable you, and in our case, like, part of the strategy is to find the right moment to leverage some of that Bitcoin, potentially. Can be through bonds. It can be through kind of strategy that Michael Saylor has pioneered, right, and many others are following. We plan to do on a football level. So that's kind of the corporate, let's say, overview strategy of kind of where we're going.
Yeah. Which really highlights that it's a long game. It's like taking care of the basics, getting to break even and rolling profits in and reinvigorating the fan base, getting them in the stadium. How many seats does a stadium hold?
18,600.
Nice.
18,600, yeah. Yeah, so it's reinvigorating the fans, but it's also like growing the fan base internationally. From next season, we aim to start broadcasting our games internationally. I mean, the European leagues are going to be, the European games are going to be broadcast, but also home games, we're working to get them broadcasted so other people can watch. We're also like, one of the key things is because we're located in Europe, traveling in Europe is kind of easy. The city is actually worth visiting for many, many reasons, you know, just as a tourist, it's quite loved for digital nomads because it's quite affordable. So people, we want to position it as a place where you come over a weekend or you come over several weeks or a month, watch a game, do other things around the city. So that's also a part of the strategy of growing revenues. And also by internationalizing the brand, there's so much more in terms of like sponsors, in terms of like digital products that we can sell to.
Yeah, I was looking at pictures of the city on Google Maps before we hopped on here. It's a beautiful city. It looks a lot of stone buildings, stone walkways, a lot of fountains.
No, the especially downtown is amazing. Yeah, lots of pedestrian areas. Everything's close by. Lots of cultural life too. So there's like the Roman, lots of Roman and Thracian remnants. So it's really like, I have this, one sec, I wrote it down. We got quite some Bitcoiners actually coming here. We have like a couple of international Bitcoin conferences. And I had Knut Svanholm, you probably know him, he's the author of Infinity Divided by 21 Million. Like he said, this is the best city I have been to that I never heard of before I went there. And I feel like that's how a lot of people feel about it. Yeah. Which is,
I'm looking at pictures now. It looks like you guys have a beautiful amphitheater in the city as well. That's why I need to travel more. I stay put in the U.S. quite often. I'll be in Latvia, be up in the Baltics later this year, but I've never been to the Balkans.
For the honey badger or?
For the honey badger, yeah.
Okay, so we might meet there.
Yeah. And that being said, just more generally in Bulgaria, being just north of Turkey, like are Bulgarians awake to the value prop of Bitcoin? To be honest, I'm a bit ignorant of the state of the Bulgarian economy itself, but obviously Turkey is your southern neighbor. They've had hyperinflationary events. Are people paying attention to that at all?
Kinda. I mean, they go to buy cheap stuff there.
Yeah.
they like that. I don't think they think too much about it, but we've had our hyperinflationary episode too, like not too far away, like 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. We got like brutal hyperinflation in 97. People lost almost everything, which is why there's a quite good community here of early Bitcoiners or, you know, even people who get it now because they either remember or they've been told or they're in general a little more skeptical, let's say, about, you know, the state. There is that, but... And then there's a lot of happening, actually. To be fair, I'm quite happy with what's happening. You know, we just had like last weekend a conference organized here by the biggest local YouTuber. We have over the last year, we have two events for Bitcoin merchants. We have meetups in 3-4 of the largest cities every month. There is also content creators, several YouTubers that are quite active and have easily orange built, like, I mean, probably 20,000-30,000 if not more people. There's also like a decent amount of companies, you know, if you look at the wider crypto space that have been built here. So it's quite good. It's quite good. I'm relatively, to be fair, very happy, especially when I hear around the other countries you know, in the Balkans, I don't think there's any other country that's that so much stuff is happening. And at the same time, however, all of it is still like very grassroots, right? Which is good and bad. I mean, it's bad because, okay, it could be better, but I think it's actually better. Because it's like stronger foundations for it to mature. And my hope, like, quite frankly, is also that with what we do and how we bring Bitcoin into the conversation from a very, again, non-monetary, directly perspective, non-financial, just like, hey, we're a football club and, you know, we embrace Bitcoin in so many ways. Especially with what now is happening. And after, you know, I just came out of El Salvador. Man, it's like the future there, seriously, in so many ways. And I want to create this connection between El Salvador, this future, and us, the football club here. And as we, you know, as we show this, as we show why it makes sense and what it you know, it will do for the club, and it will start doing for the club very soon, that other people, more and more grassroots adoption happens here until it hopefully becomes like a topic that many people care about and want to discuss. Because I've like really came to this point like where I don't think it like, obviously it makes sense to argue, to, you know, to debate, to explain to people, to educate. But at the end of the day, you know, as a doer, as an entrepreneur, just like go and do stuff and then prove to people, you know, that what you're doing makes sense with your work, with the results, with the direction you're going. And with time, others will see it. And that's kind of what I'm focused on, and what my team. And I think for a lot of Bitcoiners, it's just like, okay, don't just complain. Don't just argue and stuff. Go do things, right? And then with time, these are going to get noticed. In our case, because we're really just like this public institution that tens of thousands of people look at, I think it's really an amazing opportunity to drive this conversation.
No, and it's funny hearing you describe all this. Number one, I agree. Like, roll up your sleeves, go do stuff. But then bring it back to like El Salvador. It's so funny to think that a country in the Balkans and a country in Central America, sure, or a football club from the Balkans, like I want to go down to El Salvador and set up shop here. So you guys officially incorporated part of the business, yeah, at least in El Salvador as well. What was the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, well, so like I said, a key part of the corporate strategy is now to decentralize the club ownership, to enable our fans, to enable Bitcoiners, to enable anyone really in the world to be part of this, right? Because we realize that for the success of this, we want to get people involved. We want to get people to have skin in the game, because that's when they care. That's when they talk. That's when they become ambassadors. That's why they can also help in small and big ways, right? You know, we looked at how we could do this and how we could do this scalably, how we could do this internationally. And really there's different ways, but I would say like not the only way has been the El Salvador part, but El Salvador has been the clear part for us in which we utilize to decentralize the club ownership, to get the opportunity for anyone to become involved, to become part of this journey, is because, first of all, Salvador has Bitcoin as legal tender, right? It's money. It's a currency. There's no capital gains taxes on it, as it should be, right? And then they just introduced last year a new digital asset regulatory framework that is crystal clear, right? That is there. That is okay. It's still early, but they've done this, right? They've set the rules according to which you can raise capital, whether for debt, for equity, and also they have created incentives for companies to incorporate there and to issue their digital securities there by essentially removing all taxes. So if you're a Salvadorian business, so you could, in theory, like we could, in theory, use our Bulgarian entity to raise capital in Salvador. However, if we use a Salvadorian entity, and we raise capital again through any sort of security instrument like debt or equity, you become a digital asset issuer locally there, and you get exempt from any taxes, right? And so it's economically, it's a no-brainer for you to think about, okay, like, why don't we just move the economics? Obviously, you know, we're real business, real people, based physically, you know, in Bulgaria, in a Balkan country. But then economically, currently, with this strategy that we have, and with the approach that El Salvador has, its legal tender, clear regulatory framework, and then obviously there's the Bitcoin brand of the country too, right? Which is big, right? And which is also like, people there are super open to be helping you, you know, in realizing your vision. And then it's just like a no-brainer for us to make it like a focal point, a central point of our economic activity, at least for the foreseeable future. And that's why I say it's they literally live in the future, man. Bitcoin is money there, and it's super normal. And I'm impressed. Seriously. I like one of the, you know, simple but still kind of crazy things in the traditional parts of the world. I met this law firm there, and the guy's like, yeah, we just hold Bitcoin on our treasury. It's like our main treasury asset. And when we need US dollars or when we need to pay somebody, I just convert some Bitcoin to USD, and that's about it. And I'm like, aren't you worried about volatility? He's like, no, that's just part of it. You know, Bitcoin is the hardest money. So we hold Bitcoin, you know, it's that level of how much ahead there are, because like, you know, in Europe or probably in the States, like this is so not traditional, not accepted. You know, most people would think of you like you're totally crazy to be doing this. And there it's becoming like, I wouldn't say it's like it's complete normality, but you have this, you have the setup, right? You have the landscape that is there, and then it's up to every individual business, to every individual person, to grow up and to realize it and to make it kind of part of their strategy. But then also, as they have set up this framework, it also becomes attractive for, you know, us being anywhere else in the world. And curiously, like at this point, you know, it seems like we're the first to be doing this, because everything is quite new, right? This digital securities law I'm not sure exactly when it was introduced, but it was sometimes later last year. So it's relatively new, and we seem to be the first to be doing this type of structure of like creating a holding entity there, specifically for the Bitcoin strategy. But I definitely think others will follow in these footsteps, because again, it just makes economic sense. If you're looking to raise capital, and if Bitcoin is kind of significant part of your strategy, you know, like, I mean, there's no taxes there, right? And Bitcoin is money. Where else would you go?
Yeah. And just the anecdote you shared of the lawyer is like, yeah, we hold Bitcoin on our treasury. I think it highlights, and I think people really underestimate the power of just a country, particularly its government, putting support behind Bitcoin. I mean, you even mentioned before we hit record that you were a bit skeptical that it would be as good as it is down there. And you had to see it for yourself to really recognize that. And I mean, it's been five or four short years since El Salvador came out and said, hey, we're going to make Bitcoin legal tender. When they begin positioning that way, I think the law officially went into effect in 2021. But yeah. I mean, in 3 short years since the law went into effect, you already have lawyers who you would not have expected to be holding Bitcoin on their treasury, and understanding why, and doing it in a way that makes sense, where it's like, all right, when we need cash, we'll sell some Bitcoin, but we're going to try and hold most of it for the long term. And I think many people underestimate the power of just support from the government and what that does to give people peace of mind to actually learn more about it, adopt it, and incorporate it into their businesses, which is insane to think about if that were to begin to be applied across the world in many different countries. Like, how quickly could all this happen?
Yeah, well, in their case, like, to me, what is, and again, I have this very interesting parallel kind of between what we do and what El Salvador has done, because, like, you know, like, there's this lawyer and there are these people that are advanced, but let's be frank, you know, the vast majority of El Salvador is still not, like, adopted Bitcoin. Like, most people still just work with dollars, right? But because they're not there, like, you cannot force people into Bitcoin, right? Like, it's just, it's a free market, right? For money, it's essentially a free market, especially, like, okay, people were concerned with Bitcoin being legal tender, but practically, like being forcibly becoming a legal tender, but practically it's just whoever wants in El Salvador uses it, and everybody else is just using the US dollars, right? But the important part is, in what I see in President Bukele's strategy, is that, you know, he understands what are the short-term needs of the local people, and he understands how to address this. And at the same time, he's thinking longer term as to how to set the rails for, you know, the more visionary people, for the more entrepreneurial, for the more productive, both within El Salvador, but also as internationally, to go there and to build stuff there so that over the medium and long term, they can start reaping the benefits that, you know, the vast majority of people are not thinking about or are not realizing early on. So in the case of Bukele, he, you know, the biggest problem and the reason why people love him so much is because he solved crime. And it's absolutely astounding when you talk to all types of people there, from, you know, taxi driver to people in the hotel to like literally everybody there is thinks it's a miracle, you know, for entrepreneurs, also Salvadorians who have come from US, moved back to the country to work there, because 3-4 years ago, they were like, you couldn't walk on the street because of the gangs, because of the extreme level of danger that was there. And fast forward 3-4 years, that's solved. And that's why people love him. Not because of his Bitcoin thing. They love him because of that. But he realizes this is important, right? And so that's why he focused on this. In the meantime, he's working on Bitcoin, and some law firms are adopting it, and we're going there. You know, other entrepreneurs and proactive, productive people are moving there, so that, you know, this next level of leveling up the country can happen. And it's kind of interesting because it's, as I hear and see what's happening there, it's kind of similar, I would like to think, as to what is happening within our club. Because, you know, within our club, what most people care about is winning on the field, right? That's the most important. And so, you know, our president has worked a lot to attract the right people, to build the right team, so we start working on the field. And so this year, you know, we won the cup. Okay, we started adopting Bitcoin. We started doing things with Bitcoin. We've done a lot to kind of set the groundwork, so that although people don't see it, you know, in our eyes, in our strategy, Bitcoin can play a huge role in really leveling up the club, like next year, the year after, 3-4, and many more years down the line. So I think that there's still this opportunity for all kinds of businesses and countries and in general to be like you have to be cognizant. What are the short-term pains and most what people care mostly about? Address those, but in the meantime, have your Bitcoin strategy, because that's kind of the medium to long-term tool that can really supercharge all the other good things that you're doing.
Yeah, and again, bring the Bitcoin standard and time preference back into it. When you have the idea and the implementation of Bitcoin on your balance sheet as a treasury asset, that anchors your long-term vision. It's like, okay, if we have Bitcoin on this balance sheet, we can expect in 4 years that it'll be worth a lot more, and we'll be able to do a lot more with the value that has built up in our Bitcoin treasury. But in the meantime, there's obviously time between now and then. And so we got to work hard to make sure that it's worthwhile to spend that Bitcoin in the future. So we have to get everything right. We have to get the club winning games, get it back to break even, profitable, get more Bitcoin. And so it is crazy how something as simple as having Bitcoin on your treasury as this long-term planning anchor that allows you to really focus on shorter-term, medium-term goals that will increase the value of the club and the quality of the club. It's just really interesting socially, psychologically, how having hard money just really reorients how you approach things.
Yeah, right. No, but that's also kind of, frankly, that's the thing I most dislike about Fiat. And dislike is like a soft word. It's just that how many people are focused on the today and the now. And I see this even across the club, right, to be fair, even today, because it's, you know, other people and stuff, which is normal, right? I get it. It's just, unfortunately, it's how the whole society works. It's all about today. It's about the very next day. You know, it's not about thinking long term. It's kind of the reason also why all of these large other football clubs or clubs in general, they're not really thought of Bitcoin, right? Because you have to understand, you have to see it in order to put in the work, because we haven't reaped that many financial benefits, you know, so far, right? But other clubs, you know, go for the easy thing. They go for, oh, let's issue a fan token and let's sell it to our fans. Which, okay, you're making some short-term revenues, but in the grand scheme of things, it's just a waste of time and energy, because, okay, you've milked literally some revenue from your loyal fan base one time. There's not going to be like a second time. They have lost some money essentially, because all fan tokens, like 50, 60, 80 clubs or so have issued fan tokens. And not just fan tokens. There's all these other type of examples in our industry of just short-term thinking, because again, like, when you're in this fiat world, you're constantly thinking of how to maximize revenues as quickly as possible, as short term as possible. And this just breaks incentives, breaks the possibility for you to have a vision to build, to think how what can we do, you know, to really level up this club over 3, 4, 5 years. And it's true across society, across literally everything, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it personally in my own life and the businesses that I run. Now that you're talking about El Salvador, I'm like, God, should I go set up a holding company in El Salvador for the tax benefits down there? But with all this in mind too, like, let's talk about the players a bit, right? Obviously the players, most important part of the club, they are what can actually get the club winning and back on track to begin climbing the ranks within the clubs in Europe. And they also trend younger individuals who many would assume are more receptive or understanding of Bitcoin due to the fact that they grew up in the digital age. Are any of them hardcore Bitcoiners? Anybody getting or asking to get paid in Bitcoin? Do they understand it?
I wouldn't say we're there yet. But I, again, because like I said earlier, for us, a lot of the things that we do is about timing and when we do it, right? So the time for this has come, literally. So quite next week, as we're speaking, I have quite some meetings scheduled with individual players, with some key staff there, to start getting people on board. So we will we've already shared that we will be making educational sessions to players. I'll be doing such, but frankly, like, you know, to people who are listening, if there's people who are excited about it, if people want to visit Bulgaria, if they want to like also like come talk to our players and sports team, absolutely, you know, you're welcome to come and we'll facilitate this, because we see this getting the players on board. Now is kind of the right time for us to do it, because again, like, season is very, very heavy, very complicated. Now we're like off season. They've just started their training, like pre-training sessions, right? They have their training camp. So now is kind of the right time. We have identified for me to next week and to like really focus individually as well as a group on many of these key stakeholders, because as they, again, inevitably, I think I don't expect all of the players to get it from the get-go, but I have, you know, I've already had talks, you know, with quite some So we're getting there. Again, it's a process, not pushy. But as we get there, inevitably, because, again, number go up, technology always helps build our case. And that's been the case. That will likely be the case, you know, in the coming weeks and months. As we get them on board, this is where the really interesting and impactful work starts follows everything we've been doing, because this is what the fans look up to, right? This is what other players also look up to. And so for us, it is very important, because players, they're like, you know, I mean, you can call them influencers in a way, right? People look at them. They're role models. They're leaders to people within our community. But I would like to think that because of our position, because of the branding, because of the approach and the narrative of everything we've been building, these players are going to have significantly more reach, not just out within our community, but also outside, as they start doing Bitcoin related things. And then, you know, what they do, it reaches the fans. What they do reaches other players. And I think it's just a question of time before other clubs and players start doing the same, which for me is also the exciting part as to how we accelerate kind of this adoption of Bitcoin from a non-purely financial angle, or still financial, but like the origin is this entertainment, it's this sports level. So if anyone listening is passionate about sports, is passionate about helping athletes realize, you know, what Bitcoin could do for their careers, for their lives, because a lot of these guys, right, they could make quite some money in their prime age. Some of them, you know, are able then to convert into other roles within the sport after their professional careers, but many don't, right? Many don't, and we want to, outside of just being successful as a club, and I think we can become even more successful if we bring this culture and this understanding as to what Bitcoin can do for these athletes individually. So please don't hesitate to reach out. Come visit for a game. Come visit the city, which, as we said, is worthwhile. And if you have, you know, something good to say, if you have particularly, you know, experience in this field, we'd love to facilitate such type of conversations.
Looks like I got to make a pilgrimage to Bulgaria. Still have to go to Bulgaria and El Salvador. Two places I have not been yet. There was a big conversation here in the States, obviously, with Russell Okung, Saquon Barkley, a couple others in the NFL, making big announcements in 2020, 2021 that they were going to accept part of their pay in Bitcoin and hold that. But you think for these athletes, they're young. They have relatively short careers if you're comparing it to somebody who goes to college, gets a degree, and gets into a corporate gig. They're typically going to be at the same place or within the same industry doing the same thing for many decades. And these athletes have a short period of time in which their bodies are capable of performing at the level necessary to compete at the professional level. And they're literally putting their bodies on the line. And that was something that really stuck with me, particularly from Russell Okung when he was describing like how beat up his body got in the NFL, and you're literally putting your body on the line and getting paid in fiat that's debasing and somewhat disrespecting the sacrifices you made, the physical sacrifices you made. And to think, like, pairing this hard money with the stress that athletes put on their bodies to do what they do, it just makes a lot of sense intuitively. If you're going to go through all that, training, playing, getting nicked up, you might as well be saving and extracting the most value from that time spent putting your body on the line.
Yeah, exactly. Make it worthwhile.
Make it worthwhile. And I want to make sure that your week in Prague is worthwhile, so I don't want to hold you up. I know it's probably happy hour there right now, people congregating for drinks around the conference. But George, it's been an incredible conversation. I'm really excited for what you're doing at Botev and I'll be following along, and I'm sure there will be games played here in the States once you start streaming internationally. There'll be meetups at PubKey to watch Botev. maybe we'll have to get something started down in Austin too. Make sure that we're watching it in the comments when the games are on this fall.
For sure. Would love to do that and see that happening.
Yeah. All right, George. Where can anybody find out about you, what you guys are doing at Botev? How can they help?
Sure. So I think the go-to place, when is this coming out?
This will be out Friday.
Friday. Okay. Yeah. The go-to place by then should be, I would like to say, botev.sv. We're creating it as we speak and should be live. This is going to be the homepage of our, well, specifically the El Salvador entity. Right. And specifically for this type of audience, this will be the easiest way. From there, you can find links to our Twitter, our Noster. We've also adopted Noster, and it's been pretty exciting as the first sports club being there, playing with it, and looking to do more things with it. So botev.sv is the place. This is also where you can see a lot of the highlights of the big things that we've happening. This is where you can keep in touch with the really, really exciting stuff that is coming up. This is where, you know, if you're interested, like I mentioned, to become part of this journey as a co-owner, if you are looking to get exposure to our audience as a sponsor, as a partner, go with botev.sv, and we look forward to doing great things together.
Awesome. And I look forward to watching you guys do great things and watching Botev play later this fall and maybe the summer in the year. Maybe I'll hop on the Europa League, start watching games this summer. George, welcome. Tell everybody in Prague, I said, what's up. Enjoy your time. Go enjoy some incredible beers.
I will for sure. All right. Marty.
Peace and love, freaks. Thank you.